Airbnb.
Yetis, how much can you charge for your place? Important question, but hard to answer.
Airbnb helps host with that. They show you how much similar places in your area are going for so you can compare and contrast.
Jack, this two-bedroom walk-up, it's going for $300 a night on weekends, but my two-bedroom walk-up is nicer, it's got a pretty view, and maybe I'll put it up for $400 a night.
Nailing the price is key to being a satisfied host on Airbnb, and Airbnb helps you do it. Your home might be worth more than you think.
Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Rocket Money.
All right, Yetis, picture one place you can link all your money accounts to have one single picture of all your finances.
That's Rocket Money.
Yeah, it is.
But we love this app because it actually does a lot of different things for us.
Rocket Money, it's like our money manager. It shares money alerts like that refund that we've been waiting for.
And Rocket Money also helps us save money by helping us cancel subscriptions that we don't need anymore.
Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users, and it saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features.
So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
That's rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
This episode is brought to you by Noom. Forget one-size-fits-all diets. With Noom, you get a personalized weight loss plan that's tailored to your lifestyle. No food is off-limits. Enjoy your favorites while discovering healthier habits. Noom's users love the flexible approach, blending psychology and biology to help you lose weight in a way that's sustainable for you. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And this is Snacks Daily. It's Wednesday, May 29th. And Jack, this is my favorite one yet.
This is the best one yet.
We really worked out on this one.
The Dow slipped by 1%.
It is a little not the
but
best
Snacks
one.
Daily did.
We found three wonderful stories here. Jack, can you serve up the awkward number one?
Accidental billionaire of the day.
You got to throw one of these in every now and then. We want to keep you on your toes, listening.
Nice problem to have for Zynga. The company behind Words with Friends just made like $400 million by accident.
Here's the secret. Have a backup business plan and make sure it's completely different than your real one.
Our second story, roll this one up. It's tobacco. Tobacco stocks had their worst day in 5 months. The reason? It's not millennials.
Nope.
It's not vaping.
Not exactly.
Not e-cigs.
No. Let's blame gasoline.
Sure. The third and final story. Everyone is talking right now about China stealing U.S. intellectual property.
It's the main thing. You can't get out of a single dinner without talking about
IP this. Theft for short.
IP but here, there.
What does that actually mean?
Let's get into this thing, Jack.
We're going to make this crime real. We're going to make it grisly. We're going to look at Huawei's three biggest corporate thefts of U.S. IP.
The Wall Street Journal just put out the entire rap sheet.
Now, it's exhilarating.
In the meantime, is anyone out there feeling exhausted?
Yep.
Mentally distant?
Sometimes.
Irritable when assigned something annoying?
Right now, this podcast by you.
This is
JK.
The perfect description by the World Health Organization of what they're calling, quote unquote, workplace burnout.
Workplace burnout.
We've all been there.
It's globally a thing, according to the World
Jack's,
Health Organization.
He's pumping out his story on Huawei over here. I got to pour LaCroix on this guy just to get him awake.
It is not officially a disease, according to the WHO.
Not. No, but they sound legit.
It is a state of vital exhaustion in the workplace.
Jack's doing air quotes over there.
Now, it's not a medical condition. You can't get a note from your doctor.
Not technically.
But this is a wake-up call.
Yes.
We work hard.
Really hard.
For this money.
You may not get summer Fridays off. Just go to your boss of whatever and tell them you've got workplace burnout.
And it is summertime, so make sure you use up all your vacation days.
While you're diagnosing yourself.
They've been given to you.
And writing yourself a note.
You got to use them.
Listen to these keywords, and then we'll hit our stories.
You're tuned in to Snacks Daily. We spoke to the lawyers, and we got to get something legal out the way. Yeah, yeah. The snacks you're about to hear ain't food, it's ear candy. They don't reflect the views of the Robin Hood family. It's all informational, just so you know. We're not recommending any securities.
Nope.
It's not a research report or investment advice. Not an offer or sale of a security.
Right.
Snacks is digestible. Business news for you. Robin Hood Financial, LLC. Member FINRA /SIPC.
Boom, 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 boom.
Nice.
For our first story, we got to go true crimes edition of Snacks Daily. We're talking about Huawei.
Huawei, trade war enemy numero uno.
You're hearing about the trade war all the time. You may even be hearing about Huawei.
Huawei has been banned in the United States. It's made in China. It's actually the second largest smartphone maker in the world.
Let that sink in. This is a company very few Americans use, and they're making the second largest amount of smartphones out there.
They make more smartphones than Apple, a little bit less than Samsung.
Now, what we're going to talk about here is a fascinating Wall Street Journal.
The Wall Street Journal went deep.
They did a lot more work than we did.
They checked out 10 federal court cases, interviewed a whole bunch of people, and digged up dirt.
It sounds like
the biggest corporate thief, Huawei.
Sounds like a lot of workplace burnout.
Yeah.
Now, Wall Street Journal did all the work on this, but here's what we thought was fascinating about it, is that there are basically two different kinds of intellectual theft going on.
The first is when companies want to enter China, they tend to have to give up their corporate secrets to a Chinese partner, and that's just the cost you have to pay to get into
corporate
China.
Secrets, also known as intellectual property, or if you want to show off to your lawyer friends, call it IP.
It's not good. China's the only country that requires
that. Now, that's the not-so-secret corporate theft. The secret corporate theft is what the Wall Street Journal looked
at. We're talking CIA, James Bond, Tom Clancy level stuff.
Like black clothes with like a microchip in your ear kind of a thing.
Let's give you the rap sheet starting way back in 2003.
This is like a military offensive style. Jack, kick this off in 2003.
Okay, Huawei made a knockoff of Cisco's phone equipment. And we've heard of that before.
Yeah, it's a knockoff.
But then it printed user manuals and they were verbatim 100% word for word plagiarized copies of Cisco's
user
manuals.
How verbatim were they?
They even included the same typos as Cisco's user manual.
That one's great. So that one's a great one. Jack and I jumped in that one. The second fascinating one we found was in 2004, a year later, a spy for Huawei goes to a U.S. tech conference.
In Chicago.
Busts open some equipment, just starts taking photos, and then like runs out of the
Races
place.
To get back to the plane and like gets intercepted.
Probably
by police.
Not flying business class, but didn't even make it.
Okay, 2010, relative of the founder of Huawei happened to work at Motorola.
Not sure who did the background check.
He gave Huawei documents on Motorola's perfect cell tower.
Thousands
and thousands of pages of documents. And guess what? Huawei made those phone towers.
The perfect cell tower. And then I know we said we were going to cover three. Jack, can we throw in this fourth one?
In 2013,
this is like a bonus spy.
T-Mobile
situation.
Developed a little robot called Tappy that actually taps a smartphone screen super fast.
It's hilarious.
Like way faster than when you're double tapping with two hands.
And basically the purpose is to like test the durability of the smartphone.
Exactly.
This is like out of all the robots, like kind of the robot that got the short end of the stick.
Huawei took all that stuff and created Tappy numero two.
These are just four of the many super secretive James Bond style spying that Huawei's been doing that the Wall Street Journal uncovered.
Now, today, Huawei is actually the third biggest spender on research and development. So
they're
like developing stuff on their own. They're pretty legit.
But a few years ago,
they got here on the back of piggybacking.
So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Huawei?
These were not victimless crimes.
No. Remember, Huawei has become the number two smartphone maker in the world. It is the number one telecom company on planet Earth.
It's the leader in 5G. There's like little question about that. And this is how Huawei has become the leader. It can set its prices 20 to 30% cheaper than everybody else.
Because everybody else has to invest in research and development. And Huawei didn't for the first few years.
And so it can set prices lower. That's why Cisco, Motorola, T-Mobile, they've all had customers stolen by cheaper Huawei.
And that's why they're so much smaller than Huawei. For our second story, tobacco stocks just had their worst day in like 5 months, and it's not for the reason you think it is.
Send tobacco stocks, get well soon.
We got to talk about this. Now, by the way, our generation, we get blamed for like
ruining.
ruining everything.
Ruining a lot of
things. We ruined cereal.
We ruined marriage.
We ruined attention spans. I can't even believe everyone's still listening to us.
Can we get a little bit of credit?
Please.
We're also kind of ruining cigarettes.
I'm pretty sure we have the healthiest lungs of any generation on planet Earth.
We're ruining lung cancer.
Yeah, you're welcome. You can send a note to us directly
so
for that.
So British American Tobacco, fancy Altria, name, and Philip Morris, those are all publicly traded tobacco stocks. They all fell yesterday.
Now, here's the reason why. Expectations were set by the companies in this case. And they said that, you know what? Our cigarette sales, they're going to dip.
FYI, investors, don't expect much from us next quarter.
They said that over the last month, cigarette sales would have fallen like 4%.
But then we got new data yesterday. A report by Nielsen.
Another company, not a cigarette company. No relation.
Nielsen is known
smoke.
For TV ratings, but they do surveys of people.
Apparently, they just like talking to people and writing stuff down.
They predicted that the number of cigarette packs sold last month actually dropped by 11%.
Not 4%. 11%.
We expected something bad, but not this bad.
And cigarette prices, those are like at almost all-time highs because the companies have to compensate for this.
That sounds like a terrible business model. People are smoking less. Let's increase the prices. That's going to cause people to smoke even
less. We looked this up, snack style. The average price of a pack of cigarettes is like $7.
But that's not the driver of less cigarette
Two
purchases.
Avocados at Chipotle, but you know, who's counting?
Blame gasoline prices.
Exactly.
Nationwide, gasoline prices have hit $2.85 per gallon.
I wish that were the case in California.
I would kill for that in California.
But relatively, you know, historically, that is very high.
Now, people like to buy their 10-pack cartons of Marlboros at their Shell station, at their local gas station.
And if you're buying at a gas station, you may be on a fixed income. So you're going in, you're pumping your gas, and you may be getting your cigarettes.
You might have like $60, and that $60 is for gas and cigarettes.
But if both gas and cigarettes are really, really expensive right now, which one are you going to go with?
You're probably going to go with what's going to get you home.
Exactly. It's kind of like a, I don't know, some kind of a loop situation.
It's a trade-off, and people are going for gas and buying less cigarettes.
Now, in case you're wondering, yes, there is a cycle here, because in 2015, we saw the opposite happen when gasoline prices dropped.
Lower prices actually led to increased cigarette sales in 2015.
So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over in the tobacco industry?
You got to think, what can you control as a company and what can you not control?
You cannot control gas prices if you're a cigarette company.
Not even the president can control gas prices.
You can control product innovation and how you're investing your money.
Fascinating. Page 2 of this Nielsen report.
I'm glad we turned that thing.
Was
your finger, flip the page.
E-cigarette sales have increased by 111% last month.
Over that same period of time. And it turns out Altria just happened to have invested last year $13 billion to own 35% of Juul, which is...
Juul Labs is like the Apple-like design, beautiful tech company that makes vaping products.
And Juul happens to own about half of the e-cigarette market.
Let's see how these companies react if the smoking age increases to 21.
Good call. For our third and final story, Zynga is our accidental billionaire of the day. First time we've done this?
First time we've done the accidental billionaire segment.
It's about time.
This sounds like a repeating. It's got stay power.
I see potential. I see t-shirts, a TV
so,
show.
Let's back this up. Zynga's core business is video games.
Procrastinating like you're on the in the bathroom.
Best played on smartphones.
You're bored with the conversation.
You're on the subway.
Date's not going
you
well.
You don't want to go to your desk.
Date's going really badly. You whip out Zynga. We're talking, by the way, in the past, what were their key games here? Again?
Farmville and Words with Friends.
Everyone's got like an aunt who just discovered Words with Friends,
by the
way. It
was huge when I was a senior college at
senior somewhere.
The future, though, is all about Snapchat. It's actually the main game provider for Snapchat games.
Right.
And I just learned it has a deal to do games with Game of Thrones and Star Wars.
So Zynga's basically got all these mobile phone games. It was one of the first gaming pioneers in the mobile phone space. And it's got the old school games, and apparently it's got some stuff going on in the future.
But we're not talking about any of that.
Nope.
We're talking about Zynga's real estate.
Real estate. Zynga just sold its headquarters building for almost triple what it paid for.
Bold claim here.
Please.
Zynga is better at real estate than it is at making video games.
I love this. In 2012, Zynga bought, you know, a nice headquarters building in a good part of San Francisco.
That was a savvy acquisition.
This was in the Soma area, south of Market Street. Jack loves telling people
it's
he knows that.
It's close to the Caltrain station.
So you can get commuters.
You got sweet greens.
Boom.
You got
so you don't have to eat calories.
Ice cream.
So you can have more calories.
Airbnb is next door.
Yeah, so you can like hope some of the innovation rubs off on your employees while they walk by.
So San Francisco real estate has been bonkers.
True.
And it acquired that property for $228 million.
Which?
In 2012. well.
Jack, full disclosure, I've been there for a meeting a few years ago. It is like if Willy Wonka's son inherited all the money from the chocolate factory, got really into gaming, he would build this.
That sounds perfect for a gaming tech company.
It was kind of freaky, a little overwhelming, and I kind of liked it.
And then yesterday, it sold that same property for about $600 million.
So that
is a
on that?
Gain of $372 million.
Off of real estate. Now, we did some interesting numbers here that I really want to talk about, Jack.
We dove into the earnings report snack style.
A lot of their old earnings reports.
Since they acquired that property in 2012, the company has amassed a net loss over those like 7 years of $660 million.
All right, so let's break this down. Zynga, the company that makes mobile games, has lost on mobile games how much money?
$660 million.
Meanwhile, Zynga, the company focused on mobile games, has made how much money in real estate?
$372 million profit.
Not too shabby. What is coming next? What are they doing next? Like a condo in Long Island City? The next earnings report from Zynga, what did you guys do?
Timeshare.
Timeshare in Tampa. Trust us, forget
it's
games.
It's actually going to use the money from the building sale to invest in new engineers and make new games.
Very nice. Meanwhile, by the way, it's still going to stay in that location and
pay
just
its
like
new
Lisa.
Landlord $10 million per year.
Not too shabby. So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Zynga?
Companies can invest just like people do. They can buy a house, they can buy a stock, they can buy a timeshare.
Sometimes that's big and sometimes it's small. Great examples here.
Yahoo. Yahoo is the best example. The first one I thought of. Yahoo's business was going nowhere. And then it bought 40% of a tiny e-commerce company called Alibaba
over
in 2005.
China. That $1 billion investment in Alibaba became $26 billion when Alibaba IPO'd a couple years ago.
It became like the whole value of Yahoo.
Jack, I got my favorite for you right here. eBay, it acquired PayPal in 2002. You know, just a little payment processing company.
Touche, Nick. That one was a good investment too. They spun it off years and years later. Now eBay is worth just a quarter of PayPal.
It bought it for $1.5 billion.
Some investments pay off, other ones don't.
Most people don't even notice them.
But this could be a value driver for a company.
Jack, can you put on a shirt and whip up the takeaways over there for us?
Burnout. Taking off my shirt. The Wall Street Journal's amazing journalism illustrates how Huawei stole an advantage from Western telecom companies.
We're calling it right now, Halloween costume of 2019, the Huawei spy.
Tobacco companies are losing sales because of higher gas prices.
Control what you can control, and when you can't control something, just invest billions in whatever that is.
Vaping, in this case. Zynga, it has a real estate business that's been pretty much better than its gaming business.
Zynga's become like your one uncle who just yells at you for not investing in real estate, even though you have no idea what he's talking about.
All right.
Now, time for our snack fact of the day. This one was sent in by a old school snacker, a young snacker, 19 years old. He's been snacking for a while, actually.
Great guy.
Sean Caldwell from Charlotte, North Carolina, home of the pulled pork awesomeness.
Also home of NASCAR Hall of Fame, which I've been to.
So keep the food theme.
100 acres of pizza are served in the U.S. every day.
We verified this.
100 acres.
Let that set in. No one really knows what an acre is, but when you throw 100 in front of it, it sounds big.
I think
big.
It's like almost a football field, most of a soccer pitch.
We're going to go with that.
That
in the meantime,
a dish.
A couple other big stories we're covering in this Robinhood Snacks newsletter today.
First, Alibaba is thinking about raising $20 billion by listing shares in Hong Kong. They're already listed in New York.
And then Fiat Chrysler and Renault.
You know it.
They're talking about merging, which would create, I think, the third biggest car company on earth.
Indeed.
Now, snackers, we love having you on with us. We loved what Sean sent in, and we want to get your facts of the day. So you got to send them to us.
We need an inventory of great snacks.
Please, we want to build this thing up.
So send us yours at Robinhood Snacks on Twitter. Send us your first name, last name if you want.
And let's get that hometown shout out.
Definitely hometown.
Every hometown deserves a shout out.
We will be back with you tomorrow.
Your mom will love that shout
out. Pod again.
Can't wait. The Robinhood Snacks podcast you just heard reflects the opinions of only the hosts who are associated persons of Robinhood Financial LLC and does not reflect the views of Robinhood Markets Inc. or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. The podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to serve as a recommendation to buy or sell any security and is not an offer or sale of a security. The podcast is also not a research report and is not intended to serve as the basis of any investment decision. Robinhood Financial LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.
Calling all coffee drinkers. If you've been trying to enhance your daily coffee routine, then Quest has got your back with their brand new iced coffees. Now available in two delightfully delicious flavors that'll be sure to add an extra pep in your step. Vanilla latte and mocha latte. Quest has been on a mission to help fuel you with protein-forward foods you'll love. Each bottle of Quest iced coffee is packed with 200 milligrams of caffeine, the same amount as 2 cups of regular coffee, plus 10 grams of protein per serving to help you supercharge your day. And did I mention that they only contain 1 gram of sugar? It might just be time to cheat on your iced coffee with iced coffee. Find Quest iced coffees on Amazon.com/Quest Nutrition. That's Amazon.com/Quest Nutrition.